Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody under the sound of my voice, right now we're just going to worship God. I don't care what you're going through, let's just saturate the place with worship. Let's saturate your cars, your houses. Offer it up to Him right now. Whatever you're dealing with, just give it to Him right now. I guarantee you in this moment, if you give it up, He will give it to you. He's an awesome God. God, we love you. And we reverence your name, Jesus. There's nobody like you. God, we submit. Hallelujah.
You do you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are now on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, Minister Faith Walker, our special guest for this evening. Amen. In a second, we'll be bringing on Pastor John Lee Shula, a fivefold minister out of Orangeburg, who's doing an awesome work down there, amen, and winning souls to Christ, amen, and definitely preaching and ministering abroad. But before we start our broadcast, amen, we're going to go into a word of prayer and our scripture reading, amen, and then we're going to get into our special guest of this evening, amen. Father God,
amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for this broadcast. We thank you, Lord God, for it going off all over the airwaves, Lord God, via internet all around the world, even those who are listening in via cell phone, Lord God, and landlines. We just ask, Lord God, that you sanctify us into your truth, Lord God. Illuminate us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Allow us to come to an understanding of who you are and our divine purpose that you have created us, Lord God, that you have predestinated us from the foundation of the world, that you should be glorified in us, Lord God. Let us become livelihoods fitly formed together into a holy temple of the Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind anything that's not of you on this line, Lord God. We ask that your anointing destroy yokes, tear down burden and strongholds, Lord God. Let your people be empowered this evening, Lord God. Let your people be world changers, Lord God, and rearrangers, Lord God. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord God, as this empowerment goes out tonight, Lord God. Touch Pastor Shula on tonight, Lord God. Touch our guests, Lord God. Allow your anointing to be between all of us, Lord God. We release warring angels on our behalf, Lord God, and sanctify these lines in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And my guest tonight, amen, Pastor John Lee Shula. Pastor, how you doing, man of God?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. Amen. Blessed and highly favored. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're just going to get into it. Amen. We're just going to just ask you about the wonderful work you're doing down there. Amen. But what is your vision that the Lord has given you concerning the ministry? When God has given you the charge to do the work that you're doing, what is the vision that God has given you concerning the lost souls for you to reach in this season?
Amen. Well, you know, of course, to reach lost souls, you know, we have to do evangelism work. But the vision that God has given unto me, you know, first of all, yeah, we know that the Bible tells us in Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, that, you know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, and he has given us the ministry and the word of reconciliation. So, you know, we know that we definitely have to preach and teach the gospel in order to win souls for Christ. And the Lord has blessed where I teamed up with some other pastors. You know, we have done some street ministry. As a matter of fact, God did something pretty strange this year with me and Pastor Fogel. We preached at a place called Edisto Drive here, outside right by the liquor store. And when the weather got bad, the young lady allowed us to come inside of the liquor store and preach. You know, and so, you know, I was like, man, God do some strange things. But, you know, it was a soul there who came and accepted Christ, you know. So they was expecting one high, but God gave them another high, you know. So, definitely, the vision that God has given unto me was basically to teach and preach the foundational teachings about Jesus Christ. You know, people need to understand, you know, to me, in order to accept Jesus as Savior, I feel that we need to not only know the knowledge of why Jesus is the Savior, but we have to understand why he is the only Savior. I mean, we know the scriptures, but Jesus said that in John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father but by me. And I can go on and on with many more scriptures that keep saying that. You know, I am the door, John 10:9, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other name. You know, there's no other name, you know, we can be saved by other than the name of Jesus. So all those scriptures to me is the information. But when I understand why that is true, then I move from having the information and I have a revelation of why Jesus is the only Savior. Because 10 people could have stood up and said the same thing. But what would separate Jesus from everybody else? What would separate him from Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, and all the other guys who could have said the same thing? You know, so that's the first thing that, you know, God, the first vision that God gave to me was, you know, I want you to give people an understanding of, you know, of my word and of Jesus Christ, you know. But the latest vision that God had added onto the vision that he gave to me, which was probably about, I'll say about 5 years ago, was also an economical vision. And with that vision, I don't want to talk too much, but with that vision, it may seem strange too, because what I want to do is find a way to help people better. Well, I don't know if I better get it all into that one right now. But anyway, the goal is to help people in a better way. You know, I do feel that God has set up the ministry that we're doing right now, where we'll be able to do exactly what God has purpose and plan. And even though it took some time, but like the Bible says, you know, wait for the vision. You know,
amen.
It will speak and it will surely come to pass. Habakkuk 2:2, you know. So that's our vision. Our vision is to, you know, win souls for Christ and to minister to people in as many ways as possible. So, you know, we don't want to put God in a box, you know, whether it's through preaching, teaching, singing, dancing, acting, rapping, whatever. We don't want to put God in a box. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what is the, where you feel that God is calling you in these last days? Amen. We know that you're a pastor. Amen. But what you feel God is calling you? Amen.
Well, you know, like I said, the main goal as a pastor, because, you know, I don't want to, you know, step out of my role. You know, I've had some people say to me, well, man, you know, God's calling you to be an apostle, you know, and to me, an apostle is no more, you know, according to my understanding, an apostle is a special messenger of Jesus Christ, you know, but I want to stick directly to what God has said he called me to be and not get hyped and, you know, and get out of my lane, you know what I'm saying? Even though many people say that, but when God speak it to me and put it in my spirit that that's what he's saying, then, you know, then I will step in into that when he says it's time to step into it. But, you know, other than that, you know, like the Bible says, you know, make full proof of your ministry. So, therefore, I want to do all that he called me to do right now as a pastor. And according to Jeremiah 3:15, you know, God says, I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, which will feed you knowledge and understanding. So, you know, my job as a pastor is to stay in God's counsel, because he says that, you know, the pastors can cause my people to error if they don't stay in my counsel. So, therefore, I want to stay in his counsel. I want to stay in God's face and get fresh manna from God in order to feed his people. Because, you know, God is the only person that knows exactly what everybody needs. You know, and I don't know if that answers your question, you know.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, listen, I really think it's important that you stay in your lane. Not talking to you exactly, but I'm just saying as far as what you were saying. I think so many people, they get outside of their lane. They say, well, I'm called to be an apostle or a prophet. And that's all fine and dandy, but I think the thing is that when has the pastor's job become so minimized? You know, we know pastors that have been pastors for 10 years, 15 years, now all of a sudden they're called into apostleship. You know, you're jumping from one anointing to another. which is totally just goes out of the line of scriptures, amen. If the Bible says nothing new under the sun. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. So anything that God established was already established in the beginning. Now, you know, he said, I shall do a new thing. You should not know it. He said, you should do a new thing. So we, it's very important we just make our calling and election sure. But we definitely bless you, man of God, for just the work that you're doing with the heart of a shepherd in this season. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, like you say, you know, some people can't step out of their lanes, you know, and, you know, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit can't use a person to do a multiple, you know, a lot of different things. Of course, the Holy Spirit
dual,
can.
Dual mantles, yeah.
No, yeah, but, you know, as far as, you know, when God places a certain call on your life, then, you know, there's no need to say, well, I'm a pastor, evangelist, I'm the pastor, you know what I'm saying? God, if God himself didn't spoke to you and say, well, you are an evangelist too. Now, as a pastor, I can have the heart of an evangelist, and, you know, I may do some evangelism work. And, you know, in other words, I could do a lot of different things, but all I'm saying is if God speaks to you particularly and says,
right,
I'm calling you to be a pastor, then, you know, you need to just stick with what God says. You know, because if he didn't say apostle or if he didn't say evangelist, you know, it's going to be your main title, calling or whatever, and then, you know, there's no need to claim it. You know, that's what I'm saying, you know. So therefore, yeah, God can, by his spirit, depending on how we submit ourselves, do a multiple, you know, task to us. But it's up to us, you know, how we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen, amen. You know, I had a man of God on the other night, and you know, the man of God was just expounding on the King James Version, amen, Bible. A lot of people were blessed. They called in. We received messages. How people were just being blessed by that. What do you think about the Bible translations in these end times? Do you think they are designed to help the people, or you think it's just a trick of the enemy that the enemy's using to water down the Word of God, to take away the revelation, the flow of the anointing on the Scriptures? How do you feel about that?
Well, that's strange that you ask that. As a matter of fact, like when, you know, me and you talked before we got on the air tonight, I was telling
right.
you know, about the young man I went to see, and, you know, him and I, we was kind of talking about that, and he was telling me that he was looking at the different translations, and he wanted to go back to the original Hebrew and, you know, some of the original Greek and find out exactly how they were written, and sometimes it can be a help, but then at the same time, it can be a hurt, you know, because, well, I'll give you one illustration. To me, in John chapter 1 and verse 12 of the King James Version Bible, you know, it lets us know, it says, for as many as receive him, talking about Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now, most of the new translation use the word children there. And it's not that we don't become children first. Of course, we become children first. But what I like about the King James using the word son there is because it lets us know the full point of maturity that God wants us to come to. And sometimes when people receive certain words in a particular way, it can leave them stuck also. But if they don't understand that, you know, God really wants us to be sons, because even Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, but a son is given. And a child of God represents one who is immature in God, while the word son or daughter of God represents one who has mature, you know. And so, I do notice that another scripture in 1 John 5 and 7, the regular King James Version says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. It says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And it says, and these three are one. Now, some of the newer translations will cut it off and says, for there are three witness bearers, and leave it there. Now, I talked with some Jehovah's Witnesses before, and, you know, they was like, well, somebody had put that in there, in the King James Version that way, to support their belief on the Trinity. And, you know, we, me and you, back in the past, we had talked about the Trinity thing and all that, you know, before. But, you know, when it comes to the different translations, I mean, for me, I definitely would tell someone that, yeah, it's cool to go back to the original Hebrew to find out certain words. Because we know that the King James Version is not the original. But it is believed that the King James is one of the closest to the original.
Well, amen. I just want to build with you on this foundation. And you know, first of all, I'd like to say you are right. But I definitely want to just say that the originals that the apostle used are we just don't have those original manuscripts. Now we have the God preserved text. We have the God-preserved text, the God-breathed scriptures of the Hebrew and Greek, but we don't have the originals that the apostle used, because the apostle spoke in a dead language called Koine Greek. It's a dead language right now. But we have several fragments of those originals that agree with one another in so many different places. So, you know, those original manuscripts, I think they went out like 30, they were from like 30 to 90 A.D. They were translated into Peshitta, you know, Syrian manuscripts, and then Old Latin and Syriac originals, and then on down. They used papyrus and Unigo. I mean, they handwritten these scriptures. At first, you know, the Bible, we didn't have no machines back then, so a person had to really sit down. The scribes that was in charge of these scriptures, amen, if they missed one line up, they would have to write the whole scripture of God over. Anything concerning Yahweh, or, you know, even in the Hebrew, is the YHWH was reduced as a breath. That's why they call it God breathed scriptures, because it's Yahweh. It's not even Yahweh. It's just Yahweh. It's like breathe, amen. So, but
I heard something like that. I was talking with how you were saying that back there. You know, me and Pastor, I can't call his name right now. But he pastors a church called Edisto Fort. He was saying something similar to what you were saying. And when I was reading the Jehovah's Witness book some years back, and as a matter of fact, I still have a copy of it. And they believe that, you know, God's one true name definitely deal with the, like you say, the YHWH. And even though they, you know, they push the name Jehovah more than any other name. But in their little book called You Can Live Forever in Paradise, you know, they say as well, you know, as the Catholic Dewey Bible says that, you know, God's one true name deal with the four letters YHWH, and basically the scholars had put the vowel A and the vowel E in between there, and so that's why, you know, people, you know, believe that his name is Yahweh or Yahweh today, you know. And I've heard many other arguments about it, that some believe that actually the W should be a B, you know, and it should be Yahweh, you know. So, you know, it's a lot of different opinions on it. Actually, I went on the internet and, you know, and saw a whole lot of different things. And the last thing I looked up on the internet was surprising to me, was that I wanted to make sure that I had still the word Holy Spirit in the Hebrew, which we know is the Ruha, or, you know, but I wanted to make sure that I spelled it right. And when I looked it up, they was talking about the Holy Spirit is actually a female, you know, or described in female original writings other than in a male gender, you know. And so, you know, that was new to me, you know. And so, you know, I have my personal thoughts about it, and, you know, I never went into detail to why I would debate it or not, you know. But I had my thoughts about it. Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of information that's out there. And to me, that's why we do need the Holy Spirit of God, so that you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, can weed out, you know, the truth, because he is the spirit of truth, you know.
And, oh, yeah.
So yeah, we definitely need God's spirit, man, and we need to, you know, like you said, continue to study the word of God so that, you know, we can find out the truth more and more, you know.
Amen. Yeah. So how do you feel about, you notice we live in a day and age where a lot of people are putting their experiences with God above his word. And then you have people that will believe some of the word, but then they'll take the word out of context. You know, people will take the word pastor out of Ephesians 4 and 11 through 16. They'll take the pastor out, and then they'll ignore the apostles, the prophet, the evangelist teachers. They ignore all that, but they'll take the pastor out of there and say, well, God gave this. Well, like, well, hold up. How is he just going to take the pastors out of there and use this? And so then, you know, you got to ask a person, are we perfected into the full measure of the stature of Christ? Have we come to the unity of the faith yet? Well, no. He said, okay, well, when you come to that, he said, when we go home to be with Jesus, we'll come to that realization of a full man. But if that's the case, if we're not going to be into that full stature until we get to heaven, then why was the fivefold ministry of the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers given to begin with? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Well, you know, definitely I'll have to agree. I believe that, you know, God don't want us to wait till we get to heaven, you know, to come to that fullness, you know. But, you know, and like you say too, you know, for people who do that, you know, of course, that's what, you know, Revelation is talking about, Revelation 22:18-19. And, you know, it says that, you know, we shouldn't add anything or take anything away from the word of God, you know. And, because, number one, like you said earlier, if the Bible is God-breathed, you know, if God is the one who inspired it, and, you know, if we will put our own opinions and our own interpretations to it, then it's no longer the inspired word of God, but now it has become our inspired thoughts and our own inspired words now, you know. And definitely, to me, that's why we shouldn't add or take anything away from God's word, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't search, you know, as we said earlier, different languages, you know, to understand particular things. No, I'm not saying that, but all I'm saying is we shouldn't, like you're saying, taking out words like the word pastor and all that. You shouldn't do that, you know. I mean, it's kind of messed up these days, man. You know, it's kind of messed up. And I know that I heard of many other different kinds of Bibles, you know, like females also have a Bible, I think, where they take out the word he, and, you know, they take out a lot of different things. So we shouldn't tamper with the word of God, because the word of God is what
Amen.
It is. The Bible says every word of God is pure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's right by itself, you know.
Well, Amen. I mean, it's a lot of things that, and I just really, I'm not going to go into, you know, what I believe. I believe the word of God. But I challenge people, I say this. When it comes down to the head coverings, when it comes down to the modest apparel, you judge within yourself. The Bible says, judge within yourself. Is it commonly that a woman prays to God with her head uncovered? So you judge within yourself. Your head is a crown. Your hair is a crown. But if you got, you know, if you got real, real short hair, the Bible says you need to be covered. I didn't say that. The Bible says you need to be covered, amen, because you don't have a crown on your head, and you're dishonored. You know, so so it's not saying that a woman should have her head covered, but it's saying if she don't have no hair at all on her head, she don't have a crown. And a crown, a woman's hair is given as her glory. That's her crown that shows she is subjection to not only the man of God who is in her life, but unto God himself and to the order. She's submitting to the order that God has established in the earth realm, you know, with that man that covers in the order of God. Go ahead, man of God.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, it was a lady today that came to my job, and, you know, she had her hair cut, you know, I mean, she had basically almost all her hair cut off. And, you know, I thought about the same scripture that you talked about today, you know, when I saw her, you know, like that. And, you know, I heard a lot of different teachings on it, you know, like women who used to have their heads shaved like that. A lot of them were prostitutes. You know, that's one of the teachings that I heard about it. And I know that the main thing that Paul was talking about in that chapter was, you know, leadership and understanding our roles, you know, that God should be the head first in Christ and then man, then woman. You know, like you say, you know, basically understanding our roles. But you know, like you say, he did talk about hair on the head too. And you know, the conversation with that can, you know, really get deep. But I definitely agree that a woman's hair is also given to beautify her, and, you know, like I said, it's basically like a crown, you know. But yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of arguments about it, a lot of different teachings about it. But that's kind of my spin on it also. You know, I don't believe that it's really talking about a piece of cloth on your head. You know,
no, it's not talking about a piece of cloth on you. I mean, I think in that case, we have to take the scripture in the context of what the scripture's saying. You know, and it's like this. You got to ask yourself, common sense. I mean, come on. I mean, we've been out in the street. I mean, we're not going to sugarcoat this thing. We wasn't always saved. We've been out in the street. Amen. You know when somebody's running a con on you, okay? So you got to use common sense when it comes to the Word of God. Sometimes we just try to be over spiritual and so doggone deep, we actually miss what God is saying.
Well, that's true.
Amen. Yeah. I think we got a call on the line.
Are you waiting for the caller?
Amen. Amen. Yep. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Praise God. My name is Barbara Tyler, and I'm just listening in. I just came on, and I was talking with Brother Hill about a question on last Thursday when the theologian was on, and I wanted clarification on the question, and I think I remember you too, Pastor Brian. When I was the female that came on, it was the men's corner?
Yes.
Okay, my question is this. I want to make sure that I understood him correctly when he said that the number 5 is a death number. And he gave examples what he had referenced to. And I was jotting down things that was inspiring that he was saying, and I did not get a chance to jot down the scriptures that he was pertaining to 5 as being a death number. And I was calling for clarification on that.
Okay, well, what I can do on that particular topic right there, I can give you Dr. Ventura's his email information. I can call it out, and you can definitely just drop the information to him, because as far as the number 5, I try to stay away from for numbers when it comes to numbers. If it's not the number 666 or the number 7, you know, the 7 which, you know, God has all through his words, I try to stay away from numbers like that, with the exception of the number 7 and, you know, the mark of the beast and things like that. But, you know, he's a student of the Word of God. I mean, he goes there. So I definitely give you his information. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Any other questions pertaining to the King James Bible, I definitely can answer that. Any other questions that you may have concerning the God Preserved Scripture, the King James Bible, or any other translation Bibles, I'm definitely a student of the Word of God in that area. When you get down to numerologies and things like that, that's kind of more of his area things right there.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that's kind of different for me, too, because I always was, heard that or seen information that the number five represented grace, you know. But, yeah, I would like to have that information, too, to, you know, try to see where he was coming from once you, you know, when you can give me the information.
And this Pastor Shula speaking?
Yeah, this Pastor Shula. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you. And what really, I was writing so much down because as I was listening to him, he was so knowledgeable and I was so inspired by what he was saying because after he talked about Anthony Weldon was against the King James Version of the Bible.
Yeah,
and,
West Cotton Hort.
And then when he went on to say, he went on to talk about, you know, we have to be careful, and he started giving examples. And what really made it trigger is that on Sunday in service that the minister that brought the message, he asked five people to come to the front of the church. And when those five went up, he prophesied to them. And then it just clicked. And I said, Lord, you know, I heard that number five when he talked about it on Thursday. So then I went to my Bible because he was telling me to get the strong accordion and how I could help. And I was unable to, in my search, I was unable to find it. So I knew tonight that I could come on and get some help.
Well, the number five, let me give you, if you're able to, I'll give you his email address. And he definitely will get back to you on that, on the number five, where he, because, you know, a lot of things, that's what he taught. And I would definitely like to know the answer to that question as well. But his email address is Ventura, V-E-N-T-U-R-A,
okay.
Peter77@gmail.com.
That's
Ventura.
Okay, I have Ventura.
Yeah. Dot.
Okay.
Peter77@gmail.com.
At Gmail.
Yes, ma'am. That's Ventura.Peter77@gmail.com. You can write the Dr. Ventura A. Manson all your questions about numbers, you know, any other questions concerning numerology, you know, things of that nature. He definitely goes there. He will definitely get back to you in a timely fashion.
Okay, and one more question I want to ask about the King James Version. He was talking with us about the Levites, and he was saying that the Levites was in control of God's word.
Oh, yes. See,
and,
the Levite. Go ahead.
Okay, now I want you to expound on that for me. So what I was thinking that was that he did not go in and sugarcoat or, per se, water down the word of God.
Right.
That's what he was talking about. Is I'm on the right track for that?
You're talking about as far as the Levites and the preservation of Scripture.
Right.
Well, see, yes, the Levites, they were given charge of the word of God. Even after Moses went up and died, amen, the Levites were the ones that was responsible because, you know, they controlled the ark, the movement and all of that. So they had a copy of the law, and they was given a charge to make sure that the law was preserved, all the ordinances that the Lord God Jehovah commanded, that these things were definitely carried out, you know. So, you know, even when it was burnt up in the book of Jeremiah, when it was burnt up, God gave him another copy. So the word of God has always been here. People like to go back and say, well, it's been burnt up, it's been, you know, and it's been tainted, or it's man-written, uh-huh. and things of that nature. It's not so. It is not so. We have the original translated word of God. It's preserved. Amen. And that's like I was explaining to Pastor Shula. You know, we don't have the originals. We don't have no originals. We have fragments of the original that agree in so many other places, even including with the church fathers. The church fathers, church history, they agree with one another. They agree with one another, and they all come from the King James Bible. It's been preserved seven times all the way down. You can go all the way down to Geneva Bible, Bishop's Bible, Tinsdale, Coversdale, Matthews. I mean, I can go on and on. Even Martin Luther, who translated in German, you know, the manuscripts are the same. Even Aramis, who had the Greek New Testament, it's the same Greek that translated the King James Version Bible, you know. So they agree with one another. But what's happened is that in Alexandria, Egypt, this is where it was corrupted at. It was corrupted to solidify the Roman Catholic belief, okay, and a lot of other doctrines as philosophies with Origen and Clement and all of these philosophers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you look in the Bible, it talks about Paul said the Greeks seek after wisdom. Greeks seek after wisdom. So when they ran up against men who had the Word of God, it was like, whoa, this is new. What is this thing y'all talking? You know, because it was just full of philosophy and their own ideology and things of that nature. So they wanted this word that was causing people's lives to be changed. So they got the copies, the written down copies, and went down to Alexandria, amen, and this is where it was corrupted. And they began to infiltrate and flood this part of the world with a phony copy of God's word. You know, change a little. Now as you begin to change a little, you're getting away from key doctrinal truths such as the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the water baptism, Matthew chapter 4 when he's talking with Satan, amen. It makes it seem, these newer versions make it seem like him and Satan are best friends. You know, it just really crazy. And so the Bible lets us know that the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, if you look in the book of Daniel all the way to Thessalonians, amen, he said when the Antichrist come on the scene, he's going to come with great swelling words. And if possible, Jesus said if possible, they will deceive the very elect. So he's coming to change the word of God. And this is what he's doing, changing the word of God. Pretty soon your King James Bible is going to be outlawed. It's going to be outlawed. It's going to be illegal to have one because it's going to go against it. Because see, the King James Bible, the reason why it's under attack, because it goes against homosexuality. It goes against homosexuality. It goes against fornication, sexual immorality. It goes against drunkenness, lewdness, revelings, effeminate. It goes against all of those things. It goes against all of that. And this is what people have a problem with the King James Version. You notice when you read the King James Version, a person go to sleep. But if they read these newer versions, they're awake. You see, because the King James Version Bible, it feeds your spirit. It feeds your spirit. You're feeding your spirit, man. And see, when you read these newer translations, you're feeding your flesh. See, you're feeding your flesh. That's why Jesus said to the apostles, he said, what, you cannot pray with me 1 hour? Because what he was asking them to do was a spiritual duty. And their flesh did not want to fulfill those spiritual duties. So what? They fell asleep. So it's the same thing with these newer Bibles. You know, the King James Version, a person who is not, who's a babe in Christ, they'll read it. They're like, oh, I'm going to sleep. Oh, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. Their flesh begin to shut down because they're not sensitive to the things of God or the leading of his spirit. You know, they're not sensitive in that area. But when it comes down to these newer Bibles, they can read it just like one of these magazines, Ebony or National Geographic or one of those things.
Mhm. Mhm. So really, the Bible, as listen to you, I was believing that the Bible would never be outdated, that the Spirit of God would not allow the Bible to be outdated, that it will probably be duplicated, but it would never be outdated. I don't think it could be duplicated because when it's duplicated, you go the exact word, exact translation. And with
yes.
these different other, with the different Bibles, like the NIV and other translation, you know, there when he said before only 60,000 words has been changed out of the King James Version, and that sixty thousand less words
That's
has
right.
been removed from the King James Version.
Isn't that too much?
That's too much.
That's
yeah,
highly
it
too
is.
Much. That's
yeah.
too much. But see, you talk to these young folks who really just go to church, listen to music and all of that stuff. You ask the younger people, they say, well, I can understand it better. Well, doesn't it mean the same thing? And that's where the enemy, thank you, Lord. See, I've sat down with imams of the Muslim faith. I've sat down with gurus and Brahmins, Buddhism, Hinduism, and I sat down, and their main beef with Christians is say, well, the Quran is pure. The Quran is pure, and your Bible, look at all these translations y'all have. That is always the point of argument they always have with us. That is always the point of argument that they have with us, because one thing the enemy is doing is he can't stop the word of God. Let's make that clear. He can never stop the word of God. So what he'll do, he'll flood the world with so much falsehood, he tries to make it hard for people to discern what is the truth. See, the Bible says many are called, few are chosen. He said, straight is the gate, narrow is the path, narrow. Wide is the path of destruction. So wide are the path of destruction. What that means? That means you got a lot of people reading these NLTs, Amplifieds, ESV, New King James Version Bibles, all these other translation Bibles. That's the wide path. That's what everybody else is reading. But you have a remnant, a narrow path that is reading the King James Version Bible. You have a remnant that's reading this. So we can't go along with the masses. We have to stick to it. See, God's word, he said, heaven and earth are passed away before one jot or tittle of my word.
Mm-hmm.
He said the word, he said heaven and earth are passed away. He said he cannot add or take nothing away from this book, amen. He said, yeah, I'll take away your part from the tree of life, amen, in book of Revelation. He said, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Bible also tells us that he exalted his word above his name. Now, what that mean? That means God don't care about what you, he said he don't care about what you call him, because if he tell you to call him holy, you're going to call him holy anyway. But his word, see, his word is above his name. It's about what God says. And if you do what God says, you're going to do what he's called. You're going to tell him what he's called. You're going, my name is holy and reverence. You got people calling themselves reverence. And the Bible says in Psalm, he said, holy and reverence is my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got people going against the word of God. You got all these other offices being, it's just a lot of things out of context, because we're not reading from the same book. We're not reading from the same Bible. And this is why we have so many doctrinal differences in our belief system and everything. This is why we have so much difference, because we're not reading out of the same book. We're not reading out of the same book. If all three of us had different Bibles, one had an NLT, one had a King James, one had an Amplified, we have three different conversations going on.
Mm-hmm.
Three different conversations.
And, you know, I am so glad that I tuned in on last week, because I attended Bible school, and the minister was doing a review on Friday, and a question was asked. And we was using the King James Version, which is in the church, in the Baptist church. And he said, does anybody have another translation in here to help me understand what he said? Because y'all got me all nervous in here. And I just said, oh, my Lord. I said, he could not use the King James Version, the King James Bible, to explain what the scripture was about. He needed a translation. And I just sit there and I said, this is exactly what we talked about on Thursday. And on Thursday, when the word was being spoken, when the teaching was being done, and he said that once, you know, we are saved and we ask God, you know, to show us and to help us understand. And he will, and you, by our faith, we will understand. And you know the minister needed a translation other than, he said, I need something other than the King James Version. Yes, he did. So exactly what I've been hearing, that it is so true. And I heard it from, I actually witnessed it. And I was appalled at what I heard.
Yeah. Well, you know, because to me, that's what the excuse that the Jehovah's Witnesses used to use, you know, their excuse was that We don't use the word like thee, thou, and thou anymore. So that's why, you know, they had came up with the New World Translation Bible. And, you know, like I said, they made a lot of changes in their Bible, too. Because we know that wherever the F is capital in the Bible for Father, it's talking about God Almighty as Father. And if the G is capital, it's talking about the Almighty God and not no statue or a man or even the devil. But like in their Bible, like in our King James Version, it says, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of those G's are capital there for the word God. Now, if you go to the New World Translation of Jehovah's Witness, their book will say, in the beginning the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So they change it, you know, and they change, again, they change 1 John 5:7, and they also change Revelation 1:8, where Revelation 1:8 of our Bible says, in the beginning, no, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, and then he says, the Almighty. Now, in theirs, they put, say, Jehovah. You know, and not saying that we can't use the name Jehovah, because, you know, we understand that there's a difference between the Hebrew and our English version. Our English version records the name Jehovah that, you know, we use for God, and we know that we're talking about God. But, you know, because they pushed the name Jehovah more than anybody, you know, they decided to change it where it says, say the Lord, and they put, say, Jehovah.
Because it's their religion and their faith, and quite naturally they're going to push what they believe. And it's left up to us whether or not we accept that. So that's how we have to be rooted and learn and study for ourselves.
Amen. Amen. That's true. Amen. You know, and, you know, I definitely enjoy hearing Pastor Brown, too, because, you know, I know that he has studied pretty much in. And the thing about it is, what I believe is that even as many scriptures as I know myself, the point is, I know that I'm not going to know it all. So that's why I definitely believe what the Bible says, that every joint supplies one to another. And, you know, one of the scriptures that I talk about sometimes when I teach, and especially if I go to another church to teach, I always give them scriptures that talk about sticking to the scriptures. You know, the Bible teaches in Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God for what's correct and what's not correct, and Jesus said you do err, or you in error, not knowing the scriptures. So we got to know the scriptures in order not to be in error. But the thing about it is, yeah, there was one other scripture, Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Now, when I look at that scripture, to me it doesn't mean that there is no light in the person totally as far as different subjects. But, you know, if you're speaking on a subject that you never read before, and, you know, and you're trying to speak on it, you know, you know, you never had gotten an understanding of it, then, of course, there won't be no light in you. And I believe that sometimes, like, say, for example, like Pastor Brown, he can study a particular subject, and he could have studied a whole lot deeper than what I have, and I could have studied something else a lot deeper than what he did. But if we come together, I can draw from him as well as he can draw from me.
That's right.
You know, because we are in the body, and we are drawing from one another. You know, so every joint is supplying to one another. You know, God has said, in this body, particular people to do particular things. And, you know, and like I say, to me, it's not that I'm trying to be as knowledgeable as the next person, but I definitely want to know and understand what God inspires me to know and what he inspires me to understand. Because I remember when God first called me, I mean, I was running around like, oh, man, God, I can't believe you called me in the pastor. Man, they're going to want me to know Genesis to Revelation. And the gospel, let me say, hold on, calm down. He said, just learn what I inspire you to know. And so, you know, through doing that, you know, I've seen God move. I've seen God do some powerful things. Because, I mean, the whole Bible is the inspired word of God. But then what we have to understand is that God knows exactly what each person needs. If I take the Bible and I decided to talk about a person having a headache, and this is what I decide, even if it was in the Bible, and then God says, no, I want you to change it. I want you to talk about instead of a headache, the person's feet or whatever. I'm just giving an illustration. And so if God says change it, and if I decide, no, I'm going to go with what I had already studied and learned, then a person may come in there with a feet, you know, with their feet hurting. And because I decided I'm going to talk about the head, and by not following what God had inspired, then, you know, that person can't really receive nothing. They can't, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's why it's so important that we listen and be in tune with God mm-hmm. and preach what he tells us to preach and teach what he tells us to teach, you know, because he knows what everybody is in need of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not everybody can get healed from the same medicine. You know, some people are allergic to penicillin, so God knows what everybody needs and what it's
right.
going to take to heal each person.
Right.
Amen. We're running out of time. We only did an hour broadcast for the night, but I'm definitely enjoying myself, amen, and we only did an hour tonight, amen. But we definitely be back on Thursday night at 9 o'clock, amen, on the Men's Room Fellowship. We got an awesome show coming up, so definitely tune back in, amen. And just it is just for the Holy Spirit to inform us, amen. He'll use another man, woman of God, likewise, to just bring forth what he needed, what is needed at that particular time and that particular hour. So we definitely like to thank you, Pastor Shula, for joining the program, amen. I know you're a busy man of God, amen. I know this ain't your last time on this line. And woman of God, sister, I keep forgetting your name.
Barbara.
Sister Barbara, amen. Yeah. God bless you.
Amen.
Do not be a stranger, amen. And you got the information. Definitely hit Dr. Ventura up. He'll definitely answer all your questions with the numbers and everything. And we just want you, sister, to pray us out, amen. Pray us out, amen, because we've been blessed by your presence today. Just
amen.
Go ahead and pray us out.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come together this moment just to thank you, Lord. Lord, we just come together just to give you the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for allowing us to be on this air, Lord, so that we can learn more about you and that we can apply it to our lives and be able to help someone else. And, Father, I just ask a special blessing upon the men that you allow to bring this message to us, that they will be greatly, Lord, blessed resourcefully and spiritually to help your people. And, Father, at this moment, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise. And whatever we stand in the need of, Heavenly Father, we know that you have it. And Lord, we just thank you. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Shula, amen. We're going to look for you to be back on this program, amen. I definitely enjoyed you, man of God, taking time out of your schedule.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I thank God for you, brother. And, you know, I definitely will be, you know, getting back in contact with you. You know, like I said, I've been busy. I was moving. And, you know, finally, I'm kind of like settling down, you know, and still putting some things in order as far as, you know, stuff that I had to move and all like that. But I definitely thank God for you. And Sister Barbara, you have a blessed night.
Thank you.
You have a blessed night, amen. That's our show for tonight, amen, the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Tell a friend, tell everybody. We're here every Monday night at 9 o'clock, amen. Men's Room Brotherhood Fellowship is 9 o'clock Thursday night. And also join us, amen, on Sunday evening at 9 o'clock at GQ Palace, amen, on Crossroad Temple. And also Spiritual Sunday with Sister Lavina Polite at 7 o'clock, amen, for the very best in gospel and encouragement, where you can share your testimonies as well as your victorious and your overcomers, amen. So definitely join them at GQ Palace at a Spiritual Sunday, amen. their programming, amen, and also me on Crossroad Temple, amen. This is Minister Faith Walker, amen, a.k.a. Pastor Brown, amen. They call me a lot of things these days, amen, but I'm just a servant of God. And we thank you for joining us. We give homage and praise for our pastor, our overseer, Pastor Hill. God bless you.
Amen. God bless.